views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Of Women is a talk radio show that gives voice to the personal stories of women. It will inspire women and enlighten men to follow their dreams and create positive changes in their lives. Whether the audience listens to best-selling authors or a layperson like themselves, they'll realize there are others with similar experiences and feelings to their own. This show will give women tools they can use every day, which will empower them to step out of their boxes and create the changes they desire in their life. Chris inspires women to find their voice, speak up, and become leaders of their own life. Everyone has their gifts to share with the world, and it's time for women to work together to bring honor and respect to the feminine voice, which is within all people, men and women. Topics include personal growth, spirituality, creativity, leadership, and divine feminine. Now here's your host, Chris Stainis.
Oh, welcome to Voices of Women. And I'm so excited. I love spring. It's just around the corner. We've got the equinox coming next week. And this week I took a walk on a beautiful sunny day in Seattle. And the cherry trees, there was just beginning to have buds, just a hint of color. And then the next day they're all in bloom. So nature is just so beautiful. And right now, you know, I'm listening to the birds. My daffodils are blooming. I just love Seattle in the spring. Nature is so amazing. And today my guest is Carol P. Christ, author of Rebirth of the Goddess, and she states, images and symbols of goddess remind us that Earth is sacred and our true home. Carol is a founding voice in feminist theology, the goddess movement, and women's spirituality. She holds a PhD from Yale, and in addition to Rebirth of the Goddess, she is the author of She Who Changes, Laughter of Aphrodite, co-editor of Woman's Spirit Rising and Weaving the Visions. She has lived in Greece for many years and directs Ariadne Institute for the Study of Myth and Ritual. She offers goddess pilgrimages to Crete and a sacred journey in Greece. She's been active in feminist, peace, and environmental movements for decades, and she has run for office with the Green Party Greece. She is going to share her journey to the goddess and how experiences she's had on the goddess pilgrimage to Crete has deepened and transformed her understanding of goddess spirituality. And you can learn more about her at her website. It's www.goddessariadne.org, and that's A-R-I-A-D-N-E. So welcome, Carol.
Thank you, Chris. It's nice to be speaking with you. On the flowers are blooming here in Thessaloniki, where I am today, and also in my garden in Lesbos, which I left this morning. So
right.
Yeah, it's really wonderful that spring is coming. I've been clearing out all the dead leaves and everything and trimming back all the plants in my garden. It's just a wonderful time.
Yeah, I haven't gotten outside to do that yet, but it'll be coming. Well, I'm going to talk about you. So you gave up your tenured full professorship at San Jose State University to move to Greece. 1987, that was quite a while ago. So what led you to do that?
Oh, well, it's a long story, but one part of it is that I fell in love with Greece, and I was teaching there in summer women's studies programs from America. And every time I went over to Greece, I don't know, I relaxed, I felt whole, I felt healthy. I was swimming in the sea, and I would come back smiling and, you know, happy, and everyone would say, "What happened to you in Greece?" And I'd say, "Well, I don't know, but it feels good." And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I was leading an extremely stressful life in America, as most of Americans are, living overworking. And I was in a women's studies program, and it was wonderful teaching women, but I was also overworked. And I heard so many stories of from women of abuse, and especially sexual abuse and physical abuse that they experienced in their lives. And it was quite traumatic for me to hear so many stories from women, and I think after a while I just couldn't take it anymore. And in addition to that, I had I was publishing, I was speaking, I was really doing well in my career, but I basically reached the glass ceiling in my field, especially when it became clear that I was no longer Christian. A lot of job opportunities dried up for me. And I had always been hoping that I would move on from the job I had to one where I could teach the deeper themes of my studies with graduate students, and that just apparently wasn't going to happen. So I don't know why. I also was getting a divorce at the time. I just decided, oh, well, I think I'll just leave and try something else. And that's the short version of the story.
Well, what led you to the goddess spirituality?
Well, in one sense, I think I've known the goddess all my life. As a young child, both of my grandmothers were very in tune with nature. My dad's mother used to take me to the beach, and she used to take her stockings off and run barefooted through the sand with me. And my mother's mother lived behind the Los Angeles County Arboretum, and she had peacocks in her backyard, and she taught us to feed them from her hands, and she used to take us on secret walks into the Arboretum, even after they put up a chain-link fence. Somehow there was always a hole in the back of the fence in her yard that she would show us how to climb through, and then take us into the Arboretum and talk to us about the trees and the birds and the lakes. And so in that sense, I think I've always loved nature, and for me the goddess is Mother Earth, but I didn't have a name for it, of course, growing up. I grew up with both Catholic and Protestant and Christian Science backgrounds through my grandmothers and my own parents. And when I started studying theology, I definitely had a view of God as a kind of, you know, it wasn't a physical male, but it was certainly a presence, something like my father, something like my favorite professor. It was a male presence. And when I went on to study in graduate school, I unexpectedly was treated very badly. I didn't expect it, and everyone was saying, well, you'll never finish your degree, and, you know, women don't belong in theology and things like that. And I started looking for the reason why they were saying things like that, because it seemed very strange to me. And I found that, I found in one place, but it's really in many places. I found in St. Thomas Aquinas that woman represents the body and man represents the mind. And in relation to each other, the man must control the woman, because in the same way that he controls his body, and the body must obey, and the woman must obey. And I think that was the beginning for me of realizing that there was something fundamentally wrong with the way we've been taught about religion. And it was a long time, though, even from there, before I never even heard of a goddess, really. I wasn't one of those children who grew up with the Greek goddesses or the Norse goddesses or anything like that. And when I was writing my dissertation, I was working on Elie Wiesel, who writes about the Holocaust, and he was asking God how God could have let his special people, the Jews, be killed in the concentration camps. And he was expressing his anger at God. And I found that very powerful. And I was very concerned about the Holocaust myself. But one night when I was working on that, I lay down on my bed and I started going through in my mind, God, how could you have done what you've done to women all these years? How could you have let it happen? Why didn't you ever send us a prophet? Why didn't you ever send us a savior? How can you let women go on being beaten and raped and even, you know, raped by their own fathers or their uncles and grandfathers? And I just went on and on with my litany of complaints. And it was all in my mind. I wasn't speaking out loud. And then I kind of lay down on the bed, and in a quiet moment, I heard, again, it was in my mind, a voice said, in God is a woman like yourself. She shares your suffering, and she, too, has had her history stolen from her. And that was really amazing for me, because, like I said, I really didn't know what a goddess was. And that was the beginning of my search. I started, studying, looking into mythology, which I didn't find that helpful because, I found Athena, but she was a warrior goddess, and I was very involved in the anti-war movement at the time. And some of the other goddesses seemed weak. Eventually, I was lucky enough to take a free university class from Starhawk. It was one of her first workshops she ever gave, the author of The Spiral Dance. And in that workshop, she said, well, the goddess is nature, and the goddess is female, and I just kind of went, what? It just made perfect sense to me.
Well, you say the goddess is female, but I also read you said the goddess, you experienced the goddess in multiple ways, which we're not going to be able to get into right now because we're going to go to commercial break. But it is, it's not a simple statement. I think it's a complex concept of the goddess, and to when you really dive into it and really look at all the aspects of the goddess that there is, it's not so easy to turn your back away from it. Like, it's really a very comprehensive, it's God and goddess and all that. But we're going to take a break right now. We're going to come back and learn more from Carol P. Christ.
Chris Stanis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Did anyone teach you to be a parent? What if there were tools that could make your job a whole lot easier? Gwenna Rice invites you to be the questionable parent you truly be in a dynamic teleseries designed to empower parents to know that they know and give you the awareness required to create ease and joy between you and your children. Check out GwennaRice.com to learn more and to book a private session. Or dial 415-235-2807.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life. Each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. That's Lorraine Bays singing Pray Like a Woman. It's on our Woman of Wisdom CD that you can get on our website at womanofwisdom.org. It's got some great songs by amazing women musicians. And so we're talking with Carol. I have to correct myself because her name is pronounced Christ, Carol Christ. is author of Rebirth of the Goddess and also She Who Changes. So, Carol, can you give out your contact information or websites where you want to send people to find out about your work?
Mm-hmm. The Goddess Pilgrimage to Crete, and then there's also a page there called Carol's Words that talks about my books and my blog. It's www.goddessariadne.org. That's ARIDNE.org. And I also blog every Monday on feminismandreligion.com.
Oh, okay, great. And so I know that you are giving a discount for anybody who wants to book the first three people from the who call in from the show. And I need to say, you know, like you mentioned Voices of Women show, for your spring 2014 Goddess Pilgrimage to Crete, an extra $100 off for the first three people. And you can tour, you can book it online at that website or also call 541-345-8306. That's 541-345-8306 and find out about the tour. And that would be a fabulous. I mean, Crete's amazing in itself, but to go with somebody who has been studying, lives in Greece and has been studying the goddess for decades, it would be a great tour to participate in. So let's get to that. You've had many experiences in Crete that have transformed your understanding of the goddess. So let's talk about that.
One of the things that's most impressed me when I've been in Crete from the living Cretan people is an incredible spirit of great generosity. People are always giving you things. One of the women that we often talk to on our tours is 87 years old, and she's extremely poor. And she always comes over to where we're having lunch, and she won't come empty-handed. She brings raki, she brings fresh raisins, she brings fresh grapes. People are always giving, and it's very, very touching. But more than that, I think it goes all the way back to the matriarchal society of ancient Crete. And I call it, I'm now finally using the word matriarch. I've avoided it almost all of my life. But there's incredible new research that's come out. Matriarchy doesn't mean female domination. It's a society that honors mothers. And the most important thing is that the values that they associate with motherhood, which are generosity, giving, and care, they consider these to be the highest values, and they're not things that only women can express or only mothers can express. They believe that everyone should be, the highest way to live is to live in a generous and giving way, and to give back what's been given to us by our mothers. So this spirit of great generosity applies to women and men, and it's amazing that after more than 4,000 years of patriarchy in Crete, it's still alive. And it took me a long time to connect that back, really, to ancient Crete. But it was something that, you know, it just sort of gradually dawned on me that many, many of the things we were looking at in museums were pouring vessels to pour water, to pour honey, to pour wine. And they were used in a ritual context. What were they were doing? They were pouring libations. And I kind of knew that from the beginning, but I didn't connect it up to this spirit of generosity. But basically, I think the thing I've taken from Crete is that life is a gift. It's been given to us. It's been given to us by our mothers. It's been given to us by the Mother Earth. Been given to us by all the generations that have come before us. And in our own context, we can say it's been given to us by the whole evolutionary process on our planet. And once you realize at a fundamental level that everything you have has been given to you, starting with your very life itself, then I think it will just flow out of you that you should give back, that life is not meant to be hoarded. It's not meant to be kept for ourselves. It's not to be given only to our own children. It's to be shared with everyone.
Yeah, so true. And
that would be the deepest lesson I've learned.
Mm-hmm. And that whole generosity, and that's it allows for then even more to come into your life as you're giving. It's reciprocal. And I was just at an event yesterday. It was on crowdfunding, but we were talking about this, you know, changing our economy to a giving economy. And so what some of the, and it's the young people that are bringing up, there's a lot of new businesses that are coming forward that have this more generosity and giving economy, whether it's the new car systems that they have and the new cab, I forget the name of, there's zip cars and there's new cab systems. They're not cabs, but where you can share rides with people and Airbnb and all sorts of things that are changing the way we're doing business for some people. But just the fact that there are these new things that are coming forward, and it stems from this whole thing of from a base of generosity.
Yes, yes, and I think also we can see it in the Native American cultures, although probably don't want to go into that here right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about your experiences in the caves of Crete.
On the goddess pilgrimage to Crete, we go into four caves, and most people haven't been into any caves at all in their lives, and a lot of people are a bit afraid, and I can say that I was, too. I didn't ever go into a cave. There weren't any caves around where I grew up or anything like that. And the first cave I went into in Crete was called the Skotino Cave, and it's a cave that has four levels. And the first time I went into it, I only went to the first level, but eventually I went down to the third level with a group of friends, and then another time, all by myself, I went down to the fourth level, which is completely dark. And in ancient Crete, and I think all over the world, caves were understood to be the womb of Mother Earth, the place where life emerges. And so when you go, if you look at it in that spirit, when you go into a cave, you are, in a sense, re-entering the womb, going back into the darkness, going back into the unformed, going back into what you were before you were born. And, of course, the goal is to be transformed and reborn in a different way. And for me, there are so many things that I've learned from the caves. One is that I had incredible strength that I didn't know I had, that I could do that all by myself. And everyone who comes on the tour, that however far they go down into the cave, it's as far as their strength and their will take them. And we all emerge just feeling strong in ourselves and able to do so many things that we never thought we could do. But there's another important lesson that comes, and that's learning to trust the dark, to love the dark, not to be afraid of the dark. We've been taught in our culture that light is good and dark is bad. And, of course, that's also one of the roots of our racism, that white people are good and black people are bad. And as we go into the caves and we find the dark to be inviting, to be transformative, to be protective, you almost, so sitting at the bottom of the cave, you feel the arms of the cave around you. It's a whole transformation of the way we think about the dark and about the unknown and about dark people as well.
Yeah, it is quite an experience to do things like that. And it takes you out of, the norm of your life. So one thing you state, I read of something that you wrote is the task is to reimagine and redefine God. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are sharing with people, how to do that. I mean, because we're so, it infers like we can evolve and change our concept of God versus it's sort of always been this static thing of God is God and there's these religions and you have to choose which way to go. And yet this sort of opens up, a real dialogue when you talk about reimagining and redefining.
Yes, I think, one of the things that, there's only been a limited number of people who have defined God in the past, and most of them have been men. Most of them have been, men of privilege. And I think one of the things that began to happen in a broader way in the culture, in our culture, but also through the women's movement, was for people to begin to value their own experience. And especially in the women's movement, for women to value our own experience and to believe that we have a right to define God out of our own experience. And Mary Baker Eddy, who is the founder of Christian Science, she was raised with a very strict notion of God as a judgmental figure that she feared. And one of the things she wrote was, God must be at least as loving as my own mother. And that's something I've always remembered because I feel the same. I was lucky enough to have a loving mother. And I feel that the idea of God as a judge is something we don't really need. And we can move to redefining God primarily in terms of love and care. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the real problems with traditional theologies is the doctrine of omnipotence, that God has all the power. And then that brings up the question of how could he have let so many people suffer for so many years. And in my book, She Who Changes, and beginning also in Rebirth of the Goddess, I talk about the power of God being a power with, not a power over. And I view the divine power as infinite compassion, sympathy. The goddess, or if you want to call it God, is the one who's always there, who always understands, but is not in control of everything. So therefore, she can whisper for us to change the world, but it's not in her power to change it through divine fiat. I see we're coming to an end of our time here, so I'm going to stop there.
Yeah, no, perfect. Yeah, and look, I love that thought that it's a shared, and that's kind of a new concept in a way, you're hearing about religion, of a shared, it's a shared power. And we'll talk more about that when we come back. Listen to Voices of Women. We'll come back and talk more with Carol Crist.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
What if there's nothing wrong with you? What if you're far greater than you've ever given yourself credit for? What if it's time to know the gift and the contribution you are to the world and to like yourself a lot more? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything changed for me. Asking questions opens doors to infinite possibilities. And it's not about finding the answer. It's about being the question, always. What I'm inviting you to step into is something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Gandhi, Picasso, and Aristotle all knew to be true. What if no question is too big or too small? What if anything is possible for you? What if together we could create a kinder, gentler, happier world? Is now the time? Go to beingyouclass.com and sign up for a free video series, My Gift to You. Beingyouclass.com. What if you, truly being you, are the gift and change this world requires? BeingYouClass.com.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Welcome back to Voices of Women. I'm Chris Stainis, and I'm with Carol Crist today. She's author of Rebirth of the Goddess and She Who Changes. So we were just talking about this. You were talking about the God being with, not power over, but power with. And so, and you were kind of, you were talking about, like, you know, there's all these horrible things that happen, like the Holocaust and wars and everything. Why is God allowing it to happen? And Ben, I know in reading some of your material, there's an inference of, well, if it's power with, we have responsibility with that too, because it's power with, not power over. If God had control over it, perhaps these things wouldn't happen. But since we have some, it's sort of inference, we have some responsibility too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I one of the people who's one of the people whose work has meant a lot to me in recent years is Charles Hartshorne, who was an American philosopher. And he spoke of something he called the zero fallacy. And that is, if God has all the power, then we have zero power. And if God can make anything that God wants happen, then that means that the power that we have is not the, any type of real power to make anything happen. And that's basically a theological mistake or a fallacy, because if we as human beings, or we as animals or even plants, have power, then we have the power to make things happen in the world. If we exist at all, we have the power to make things happen. And so it's really a mistake to think that God could have all the power, because if he did or she did, there wouldn't really be a world. And if there really is a world, and if we really exist, then we have part of the power. And therefore, you can't blame everything on God. And the way I think about it is that the divine power is always in everything. It's in all of us. It's in the cells of plants and the cells of our bodies. It's in the atoms. It's in everything. And it's always trying to inspire, whether it's an atom or a cell or an animal or a person, to do the best, to be the best they can, whatever that would mean for an atom. It's not the same as what it means for a person. And to make the world a better place for as many beings as possible. And that's how I understand the power. The divine power is that power of inspiration that's always with us, always trying to persuade us, inspire us, move us towards greater harmony, greater justice, greater joy in the world for as many beings as possible. But it's really up to us to listen to that or not to listen to that. And obviously, given the crisis our world is in today, there's quite a lot of people, I would say, who haven't been listening, who don't understand that life is a gift and that it's meant to be shared, and that we don't have a right to take all the resources for one generation and then destroy most of the species that we share the world with and make the world practically uninhabitable for future generations. So I put the blame for human and for evil primarily on in human hands.
Yeah, well, there's, yeah, and so much has been done that's been harmful, and one of the things that you believe there, you call it an inclusive monotheism. So that you're drawing from a plurality of symbols. You have female, male, and that points to a single divine power. So can we talk about that somewhat? And I know you use the word, let's see, what is it? Panentheism. Yeah.
Panentheism. I think monotheism, in the way that it's been expressed through Christianity especially, but also going back to the Hebrew Bible as well, it's been expressed in terms of an exclusive monotheism. That is, you have to worship this God and not other gods. And you have to worship it in a certain way, or else you're a heretic, or you're wrong, or, you know, you could even be burned at the stake. And so what we've had is a kind of exclusive monotheism. It's been defined also in terms of the image of God as male and not female, the image of God in human beings but not in animals or plants or the wind or the rivers. Whereas I think we could have an inclusive monotheism, and that would be the idea that there is a unity in the world. We all share the same life force. We all come from the earth. We all are in relation to the divine power that is power with. But yet, the best way to express that is through all the multiplicity of images in the world. And if the divine is in the world, then everything in the world has the spark of divinity within it, and you can see the divine within everything in the world. So to me, an inclusive monotheism is one that would have a plurality of images to express all of the diversity and difference in the world.
So some people, you know, they talk about being their religion or what they follow is goddess spirituality, and yet I get from you that, I mean, there's gods and goddesses, and I think there's an emphasis sometimes maybe on goddess because we want to bring the she back in God. We want to bring it back to balance, and there's a place for both in our world of God and goddess and having that balance.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. I think that we definitely, you know, if we're going to express all the diversity and difference in the world, that includes male and female, that includes plant and animal as well as human. Personally, I don't have a strong relationship with any male deities at this point in my life, although I believe that there's a need for them. I just haven't found any that I like. And I think part of that is that I haven't been seeking that because I've really been seeking to heal what you call the divine feminine and the feminine within all of us. But also I think so many of the male images for God that have come down to us through mythology, whether it's Christianity and Judaism or other myths, the divine power has been defined in terms of war and domination. And so although I agree with you that we need male images, I'm not interested in, let's say, resurrecting Zeus as an image, because Zeus was going around raping women and doing all kinds of horrible things.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. We need to reimagine even the male god.
Exactly.
You know?
Especially the male god.
Well, I read one line you said, I'm beginning to open my heart to the green man. What did you mean by that?
Well, the green man is an image that has come down to us through European culture, and it's particularly expressed in the medieval art, and it's often carved into cathedrals. And it's a man who is, well, the Jolly Green Giant probably is part of this mythology. It's a man who is green, and he's green like the green of trees and plants. And he's often pictured having leaves coming out of his mouth. So he's very much identified with the greening of the world, the rebirth of the green, which you were talking about, spring, which is coming. So that's not a warrior god. So I'm more interested in him than in Zeus, shall we say.
And where do we find the Green Man? From what mythology or area of the world? I can't put my finger on it. It seems like it's from somewhere.
Well, there's a book called The Green Man, and it's written by two male Jungians. I forget their names now, but the book is called The Green Man, and they're looking in particularly medieval art. From Europe. I mean, there probably are similar figures in other cultures, but
I don't know anything about them. Okay. Well, you're writing a new book with Judith Plaskow titled Goddess and God in Light of Feminism. So I'm curious about this top, you know, combining the goddess and feminism, what the connection there is between the two.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think both Judith and I, Judith is my best friend from graduate school, and she's a Jewish feminist theologian, and I think we both, you know, started on our journey that led to the writing of this book as we became feminists and we began to be critical of the male god, the male god who's out there and controls the world, also, by the way, a white god, white male god with a long white beard and blue eyes. As we became, you know, critical of that, then we both were searching, as we were talking earlier, to name God out of our own experience. And we've been best friends for almost 40 years now. And I think we thought that we would come to similar conclusions about the nature of God and also about whether to stay within the religions of our birth or not. And we didn't. I mean, I left Christianity. She stayed in Judaism and is working to transform it. And we also didn't come to the same idea of what the divine power is. And we've been discussing this, fighting about it, criticizing each other for years. And we decided that actually, although there are logical arguments that you can make for your for how you think about God, a lot of it is not logical. A lot of it is to do with one's history and personal experiences. So we've actually come to two very different views of God. And as I said, mine is that the divine power is love and understanding. And her view is that the divine power is a creativity that underlies everything. It's not for her. It's not personal. And it's also not good. And this is very important for her, that in her view, if you're going to, if God is the whole or goddess is the whole, then it should include good and evil.
Okay, well, we're going to have to come. Yeah, we're going to have to come back to that. This is Christanus.
We can pick that up or not when we come back.
Right, and we'll come back soon and talk with Carol, Chris, some more.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life, too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Torella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Torella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Torella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Torella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net. Where do you desire to go in life? How do you plan to get there? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Your Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside you waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase on TransformationTalkRadio.com and discover how awakening to your inner voice transforms your life.
If you're one of the millions of Americans suffering from anxiety, you probably know how powerless and out of control this emotion can make you feel. This is why it is so important to remember that anxiety is created by your mind, which means that you can learn to use your mind to uncreate it. Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. My award-winning book, The Fear and Anxiety Solution, provides you with a step-by-step breakthrough process to understand and resolve the root causes of your anxiety and build a solid foundation of confidence and inner peace. If you're ready to take your power back, visit thefearandanxietysolution.com. That's thefearandanxietysolution.com or call 866-903-6463. That's 866-903-MIND.
Well, welcome back to Voices of Women. This is Chris Stainis, and I'm talking with Carol Christ, who's the author of Rebirth of the Goddess and She Who Changes. So we've been talking about this concept. You and your friend have these differing views about religion and the concept of God. And for you, God is love and God is good, and her, God includes good and evil. And so let's tell us a little bit more about that, because I'm very curious of this concept.
I think that one of the things we discovered as we started, the book that we're writing in a much more personal way. I mean, we are theologians and we do deal with, you know, hard theological questions, but we also talk about our own experience. And when we wrote about our earliest religious experiences, Judas said that, you know, the main thing that, you know, impressed her as a child was the Holocaust, and she wanted to know how God, you know, how God could have let that happen. She's now come to the view that it wasn't caused by God either, but I mean, not by the omnipotent God of traditional theology in any case. But I think for me, I was raised, I had it with my grandmother's love, but the church I went to was Protestant, and it was not very sin-oriented. It was much more love of God-oriented. And so I think I grew up feeling that God is love, and she grew up wondering what God's relationship to evil was. And those are really different questions, aren't they? And, of course, it makes sense that she had that question as a Jew, and I didn't have it as a Christian. Although, you know, maybe I should have, but it didn't come up for me in the same way. And we also, so she argues that I'm making it up. There really isn't a God who is love and who is good, and there's no reason to believe in such a thing. And that really that's the state of affairs, is that good and evil are completely intertwined, and they must be intertwined in the creativity that undergirds our lives, which she calls God. And my experience just is different. I feel in my daily life, I don't always feel loved by other people, although increasingly I do more and more. But I feel always loved, that there's a love that surrounds me that I call Goddess, or if you want, you could call it God, or divinity, or divine power.
Well, what occurs to me, too, is this concept I think I grew up with. Well, good is supposed to fight evil. You know, God is good and love, and we're supposed to fight evil, which might be what the basis of, you know, all the different religions. Well, your religion is wrong, is not good, so therefore I have to fight you. You're evil, mm-hmm. You know. And so that's kind of an interesting concept.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I've also been thinking about, you know, do we have to fight evil? I mean, we obviously have to work for justice and work for harmony and work for love and joy in the world. But to think of it in terms of a struggle between good and evil, in which some type of a battle, that imagery, it just seems to me that's coming out of the warrior tradition as well. Maybe there's other ways that we can work in the world rather than fighting each other.
Well, yeah, and it could, if you're using love and light and that, you know, light, what changes, transforms darkness? It's bringing light to something, which is not a warrior type statement of, you know, fighting it. It's shedding light on it, exposing it. And if we expose evil, oftentimes, if you see, there's a lot of exposure going on now, you know, where you're talking about, you know, women being raped and wars. There's a lot of, in the child pornography and all that, there's a lot of exposure going on. And that shedding light, exposing people, people can't hide anymore from doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also, part of my spirituality, like we were talking about in the beginning, is also, I mean, light is important and dark is important too. So, like in the wintertime, I really like to think about going into the dark. I have two tortoises in my garden. They were born in captivity. I didn't take them from the wild. They were born in some garden of the British Embassy in Athens, apparently. But anyway, they go and sleep all winter, and they love the dark. They must love the dark. And I, just watching them, it's quite amazing to think about tortoises, because I looked it up on Wikipedia, and they perfected their evolution 200 million years ago. And here they are, you know, they're waking up now, they're starting to walk around the garden. I think, what would it be like if you perfected your evolution for 200 million years and you didn't have to do anything but keep on going? You didn't have to change, you didn't have to grow, you just kind of go on. I think it's kind of wonderful.
Yeah, and I want to correct.
The dark is as the dark can be comforting and
yeah. And not to put judgment, like shedding light on the dark. Maybe it's the wrong word to use.
I know.
Putting light towards evil, because you're right. Dark doesn't mean evil. Darkness is a lot of different things, and part of our existence is the yin and the yang and all that stuff. So it's more putting light to evil, things that are evil in our world, and not to deny that there isn't, you know, evil things that happen. Mm-hmm. You know, we read about it all the time. So, but I'm curious how it relates to feminism in your spiritual studies.
Well, I think that one of the things I mentioned earlier was that St. Thomas Aquinas, and really it's, you know, starts with Plato and the whole Western tradition, has identified women with the body and emotion and nature, and men with rationality and transcendence of the body and nature. And so I think one of the major themes in all of my work has been trying to affirm the body, that we aren't, whether we're male or female, we're both body and spirit, and the body is the source of our lives. I mean, it's the place where our lives occur. So I think one of the major themes in feminist views of religion, spirituality, and divinity is an affirmation of the body. The body is good. Being born is good. You don't have to go to another place like heaven or nirvana or someplace out of this world, out of the body. Being born out of a mother's body into a world that ends in death is good enough. And that's really a radical statement, because all of the Western traditions since Plato, and much of the Eastern traditions as well, I don't want to, you know, not all of them, have felt that it wasn't good enough. You had to get out of that somehow and get into a rebirth, into something better than life in the body.
Right.
Of course, the reason they feel that way is because life in the body ends in death. But can't we affirm death too? I mean, it's part of life.
And it's, we need to be honoring our bodies. Our bodies are holy and divine and all that. It's all part of that power over. Well, it was great to talk with you today, Carol. Thanks for being
on
the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, and so everybody, you want to go to her website, Goddess Ariadne, ariadne.org. And remember, the first three people who book the Spring 2014 Goddess Pilgrimage to Crete and mention the Voices of Women show, there's an extra $100 off for the first three people. You can go to her website, or you can call 541-345-8306. I would encourage you, if you... you know, Crete's a great place to go to and to be with an expert on this who's done many tours there. That would be a great, great trip. So I would like to leave everyone with this thought today. Regardless of your religion or beliefs, how can you see the goddess in your life? How does she show up? How can you bring in the balance of the feminine and the masculine in your spiritual beliefs? So this is Chris Danis. I'm the founder of the Woman Wisdom Conference and organization. And I also have a book. It's an Amazon bestseller and award-winning book, Woman of Wisdom, Empowering the Dreams and Spirit of Women. So if you have friends or yourself who need some inspiration in your life, it makes a great gift. It's a compilation of everything from our conference that has changed women's lives. So it's art, poetry, personal people's stories, and all that. You can purchase it on our website, and everything that we do at Woman of Wisdom. You can join our newsletter. Just go to www.womenofwisdom.org. We're doing an event tomorrow that I'm leading. It's Energize Your Life, Power Up Your Purpose, Walking the Feminine Way. We're going to explore our deep desires and leave with a powerful action plan of what we want to create in our life. You can go to the Woman of Wisdom website to register, or just drop in tomorrow morning in Seattle. And next week I'll be interviewing Wendy Kaplan, who's the author of Your Next Bold Move. This is Chris Danis. I'm so glad to be with you this hour on Voices of Women. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Voices of Women with Chris Danis. Tune in each Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time for Voices of Women Today, Radio with Chris Danis.
What's getting your attention as physical pain or illness? Have doctors been unable to help? Consider an intuitive healing session with Christy Borst. amazing things happen every day, sometimes with jolting awareness, and sometimes with subtle shifts aided with Christie's divine healing gift. Release that which no longer serves you. For more information and to contact Christie, visit healingresonance.us. That's healingresonance.us.
Where do you desire to go in your life? Are you only looking outside yourself for the answers? What if you use your soul's wisdom to lead the way? So what is the soul, and how do you access its wisdom? Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen will unpack these questions and help you tap into and trust your own inner voice to solve everyday problems. Our Soul Suitcase is a treasure chest of wisdom inside us waiting to be discovered. Listen to Soul Suitcase while Victoria Cohen takes everyday situations like job loss, relationship struggles, parenting challenges, work stress, and health concerns and shows you how awakening to your inner voice helps you make more conscious choices where your life flows more smoothly with greater clarity, purpose, grace, and ease. As a psychotherapist and soul coach, Victoria has inspired thousands of clients over the past 31 years to listen to their inner wisdom and let it guide them on their true path. You can learn this too on Soul Suitcase with Victoria Cohen. Your soul suitcase is packed. Are you ready to start your journey?
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question. Always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? Beingyouclass.com.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Basile is blowing the doors off of traditional talk radio. Get ready for an energizing delivery and powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's fresh, new perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Visit thedrpatshow.com. That's thedrpatshow.com for listening times in your area.
Holistic Medical Center is where you find it all. A healthy space with doctors who care, see, and listen to the whole you. Hi, this is Dr. Darvish. If you have not found an answer to your chronic symptoms, you will find answers here at Holistic Medical Center. Our doctors find the root cause of your symptoms and guide your body towards healing naturally. We transform lives from within. Visit drdarvish.com or call 425-451-0404.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Hey, Moon, you want to know something groovy?
Yeah, Jess. What's that?
Dr. Pat has been on the radio for 10 years.
10 years? Are you kidding me? That's awesome!
I'll tell you what's awesome. She's bringing back the Pay It Forward campaign and Holistic Makeover to celebrate. If you want to know more or get involved, go to thedrpatshow.com or like us on Facebook at facebook.com/thedrpatshow to get updates about everything we're doing. Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to facebook.com/thedrpatshow and click the like button. Then go to twitter.com/thedrpatshow and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's facebook.com/thedrpatshow and twitter.com/thedrpatshow.